Listener Mindy Schompert from West Newton, PA, recently sent 90.5 WESA a good question.
Why was the Pittsburgh Agreement signed in Pittsburgh?
90.5 WESA's Katie Blackley reports.
The Pittsburgh Agreement has very little to do with Pittsburgh. It has to do with the cultural preservation of two countries across the Atlantic Ocean when the world was at war. But first, a little background about these two countries, Slovakia and the Czech Republic, and how they have anything to do with Pittsburgh. Slovak culture is everywhere in the Steel City. The honorary Slovak consulate is here, as are a handful of social clubs, cultural centers, and annual holiday festivals dedicated to maintaining and celebrating Slovak traditions.
Allegheny County has the highest percentage of all of the counties in the United States, not just in Pennsylvania, of people who claim Slovak heritage.
That's Martin Votruba, head of Slavic studies at the University of Pittsburgh. He's right. According to census data, Western Pennsylvania has a huge number of Slovak Americans, more than any other region in the country. It even shows in the city's cuisine, from halušky to lukša, they're all originally Slovak dishes. So how did people from this small Eastern European country end up in Pittsburgh? Around the turn of the 20th century, an estimated 500,000 Slovakians immigrated to the U.S., most of them settling in Pennsylvania for work in the coal mines and steel industry.
With World War I, the boundaries of Europe started to change. Slovakia was part of the Central Powers, and it looked like they weren't going to win. So back in the States, Slovak immigrants took action.
The Slovak Americans and Czech Americans got together, and they pushed Washington and London and Paris and Rome to actually create a new country for themselves together.
Votruba says Slovaks and Czechs wanted to combine their countries because it would help protect their culture. They didn't want to become assimilated by the Central Powers of Germany, Austria, and Hungary.
And because Czech and Slovak are fairly close to each other, so the idea was to liberate themselves from the pressure of Germanization and Hungarianization that was going on.
Slovaks and Czechs formed a group called the Czechoslovak National Council of America. And because there were so many Slovak immigrants living in Pittsburgh, Votruba says it seemed like the perfect location to have a big meeting. It was Memorial Day in 1918.
Downtown Pittsburgh was crowded with Slovaks, mostly Slovaks actually. Pittsburgh doesn't have too many old Czech immigrants, so it was mostly Slovak immigrants, but Czechs were part of the whole arrangement. They came from other parts.
Leaders from both countries met and talked about this new country they'd create, Czechoslovakia. They agreed that there wouldn't be one national language and that, unlike how it was under the Central Powers, the government would be a democracy.
Czechoslovakia ended up being a fairly democratic country when Europe was going fascist, totalitarian. It was among the only countries that remained reasonably democratic before World War II began.
More than two dozen Czech and Slovak delegates signed the agreement at what was then the Loyal Order of Moose Building on Penn Avenue and 7th Street downtown. Not long after, the U.S. and Allied powers recognized Czechoslovakia as a nation. It existed unified throughout World War II when it was taken over by the Russians. Votruba says it wasn't until 1989, when communism fell, that Czechoslovakia split up and became the Czech Republic and Slovakia.
There was no animosity, there was no fighting. They are still each other's favorite nations in Central Europe.
Votruba says because the two countries were willing to come together during uncertain political times, it actually helped them maintain their individual cultural identities. You can see the Pittsburgh Agreement plaque downtown. It's in a parking lot near the Andy Warhol Bridge. Warhol's parents, by the way, were Slovak immigrants. I'm Katie Blackley, 90.5 WESA News.